Summit Internet. Business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Geelong and right across Melbourne. Visit Robot's click and collect service. Order online. Pick up at your nearest store.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Dwayne's World brought to you by Robot Building Supplies. Robots still open for business during the Stage 4 restrictions and for Summit Internet. Answer phones from anywhere on any device. Head back to quite a few of your texts on the Temper text machine shortly as well and read out a heap of those. Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R. You can Google it. Temper, a mattress like no other. Matt Stevick's been good enough to join me for a chat. Eighth grand final coming up for Matt Stevick on Saturday night. Simon Meredith in his sixth and Craig Fleer umpiring his first. And it's great to have you on the line, Matt. Congratulations again.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. And thanks for your time.
It's been an interesting year for you as well. I mean, you've had to hub, you've had to do all the things that the footballers have had to do. How tough has it been for you guys? And how many family have you been able to lean on in those hub times?
Yeah, look, it's been tough, really challenging. Certainly not as tough as what everyone back in Victoria has experienced, Dwayne. But, I mean, the day the AFL season was first shut down, we welcomed our first child into the world. So, you know, right. Since March, it's been a surreal 3 or 4 months. But I've got to say, the AFL and all the umpires and families that have come from all over Australia for anywhere between 3 and 4.5 months, the opportunity to spend more time with each other and get to know families and kids and be able to lean on each other a bit has made for a unique year, but certainly one that we'll remember forever, that's for sure.
So was there a time when you thought, okay, well, I might have to not be an umpire this year, or were you always 100% in, even though you were a new dad?
Look, if families weren't able to come away, I had a pretty, certainly not a tough decision, an easy decision in that I would have probably put the fee up for the year and cheered on from the couch, the boys in the group, but... when the opportunity came up that family would be able to come away, we took a leap of faith, and as I said, we can't have been better looked after in the time that we've been away. So we're really grateful for that, and to be able to still be out there and service the game and play our small part has been something that we've all been wrapped to be able to do.
Scissors, rock, paper for the opening bounce. How do you decide that?
Yeah, and I remember my first two grand finals, I was so nervous, and I said to the other boys, nah, you can have it. But on my third, I thought, nah, it's time to step up, and I don't think you'll ever be complete as an umpire until you take that first bounce and test the nerves. But I think this year, Craig Fleer, it's his first one. He normally starts games that he's involved in anyway, so he's pretty excited about banging it down on Saturday night.
Would you hate to see it go from the game? We might see it go from after every goal. We might see it go from being the start of every quarter. But would you hate to see it go to start a grand final? Would you keep it even for the tradition of the game if you had your say?
Look, it's a really difficult one. There's pros and cons for keeping it and removing it. But, look, it's a special... it's probably hyped up more externally than how we deal with it internally. Yep. For us, it's just... it's the start of the game. It's important that we give the rucks, you know, a fair or as fair as possible contest at the ball. But there's this beauty about it externally, you know, and there's that anticipation that, you know, the fans and the commentators like to talk about. So I think, look, it's a really unique part of our game. And so from that aspect, if the masses want to keep it, I think it's a good thing.
It doesn't put added pressure on you because you've got enough pressure on you as it is, but to come up with a bounce as well at a critical time that's straight does seem to add a little bit more pressure that maybe you don't necessarily need and the game doesn't necessarily need.
I could probably name 200 aspects of our craft, Dwayne, that add yep. pressure. Look, we come to learn that's part of our craft, and to be good at what you do, you need to be able to manage players well have empathy with them and make good decisions and bounce the ball straight and get in the right spot to adjudicate. So, look, that's just one of many of our challenges. And, look, it's a great feeling as well. You know, it's pretty exhilarating, to be honest, when you're in a big game and, you know, the crowd's going nuts and, you know, you're there out in the middle to perform your skill and hopefully get it up straight.
Yeah, you're going to want the moment as well. You mentioned your craft, and it is part your liaison with the players as part of your craft. You umpired the game the other night with the Connor Rosie, you know, whether he milked the free kick or whether he didn't. But your liaison with the players is an important part of it as well, especially given we can all hear you at home.
Yeah, look, it's certainly, I'll probably speak for all umpires, our role is not to win arguments. It's not to try and get one up on the players. We're there to try and manage, diffuse, and get a win-win outcome. So if it's a frustrated player or a moment in a game that requires you to intervene, now that might not be pay a decision, but just have a conversation with a player. It's, you know, I think, and we get measured pretty closely on this. Our ability to understand the moment, have empathy, you know, at times be direct and firm with players when we need to be. But, you know, part of the management of, you know, 36 players out there all wanting to win, and it's going to be at its toughest Saturday night. It's a core part of our function, and it's something that I've worked pretty hard on over many years.
It seems to my eye that there's been less free kicks paid and less 50s paid this year for umpire abuse. Is that a misguided view, or is there more respect now toward you guys than there ever has been for quite a while?
Yeah, I reckon it's been the case for quite a while, Dwayne. I remember it was either my first or second year. You know, there was we'd pay, you know, one or two a game almost. Well, I've got to say, to be honest, this year I can't actually remember one being paid across the entire competition. And I've got to say, the credit to the players and the coaches, their discipline, because we get it wrong sometimes. So we have empathy for some players who might get frustrated or express some disappointment with a situation. But their level of discipline to hold their tongue, and again, they can express some frustration with us, and provided they don't go over the top or abuse us, that's, you know, it's generally okay. But, yeah, no, look, I've got to say, they've been fantastic role models for probably 12 to 15 years now, the players, and so we can only applaud them for that, because it sends a great message across all levels of the game.
Do you think the respect level has grown because you've lived with them in the hubs as well, and there is this unity between everybody that's involved in putting the game on, that it's a team and we've got to work together to get the season done?
Yeah, I'd hope to think, even back in my first year with some 50s paid, I think there's always been a fairly healthy level of respect on the field. Now, that doesn't mean we all see eye to eye, and at times there's some heated moments, but yeah, look, it's probably, since we've done a lot of club visits over the last, I'd say, 10 years, so pre-season, during the year, we go out and assist the coaches and the teams with match simulation and knowledge of the rules, and, you know, you get individual players coming up to you asking different questions. So I think to be able to get to know them on a more personal level and them us has only helped in terms of how we work together effectively out on the field.
And you sync with the other umpires. There is grey areas in the game. How long's too long for prior opportunity? How deliberate? Well, let's not call it deliberate. Let me get the terminology right. How much intent is insufficient intent to keep the ball in? Do you know these guys so well that all your interpretations are in sync, so we don't get a variation between games and between umpires at one end of the ground and the other?
Yeah, well, we endeavour to do that. Again, you make a great point at the start. There are so many grey aspects of our game, and you can argue that that's what makes the game the great game it is, that there's debate and conjecture and was it prior, was his intention to put it out, is it too tough? But look, we get trained and well-drilled consistently week to week. You know, we look at aspects of our craft across all nine games, and then sometimes within games if we don't quite hit the mark in terms of a consistency point of view. But look, we would all love consistency 100% of the time, Dwayne. At times it gets a little bit out of kilter, but we're all getting the same message. We constantly reinforce that with each other pre-game and during the game. And so, again, Saturday night will be no different.
So anything Saturday night specific or final specific? I mean, quite a few come through on the text talking about, oh, tell them to put the whistle away and don't pay as many frees, which I don't agree with. I think you've got to pay them. If they're there, they're there. And I like you to actually pay more in the backs and holding the balls rather than have more ball-ups. It's just a personal opinion. But even things like, I see Tom Hawkins pushing guys into packs, and Jack Riewoldt does it sometimes as well. So how much is a block to then turn and take the mark allowed? How much is a push to turn and take the mark allowed? Do you know what individuals tend to do as part of their game style that you might have to watch it more readily than someone else doing something?
Yeah, look, it's part of our craft in preparing for each game. You know, last week, Port Adelaide, Richmond over there, there's certain matchups that you might look at, and not dig too deep, Dwayne, but certainly it's part of your obligation as an elite official to be well prepared, and that's just not in the rules, but also have a bit of a feel and a sense for different teams and the style, how they play, whether they, you know, chip it around a lot, and whether there's, you know, are they 15 metre kicks or not, and sides that like to go long and direct and quick play on call. So absolutely, we do our homework as best as we can on how players and certain players like to play and attack the ball. You know, as far as putting the whistle away, it's the game's too hard for that. It's see a free kick, pay a free kick, as you say. You know, across 2 hours, there's probably 500, 600, 700 contested possessions, and we might, you know, pay a free kick, what is it, 25, 30, 35 times. So, look, whatever that number is on Saturday night will be, and as I say, we see a free kick, we play, but we'll also let them battle it out as long as it's within the rules.
And I'm not asking for your opinion on this, but do you guys, when you're sitting on planes or in a room together, have a discussion as to whether prior opportunity should stay or how tight, whether there should be a last touch out of bounds rule, or are you so attuned to... You're not allowed to have an opinion in a way that is voiced publicly, and your opinion, I presume, doesn't get heard at AFL House. If it does, it gets heard through Hayden Kennedy. Do you guys discuss those kind of things in terms of wanting the game to be better and how you think it could be better as well?
Look, since Steve Hopkins came on board, he's been his dialogue directly both with the umpiring team and the elite officials, the group of 34, has been outstanding. And I got to say, you know, he takes a real interest in our views on rules or things, new things that, you know, may be looked at in the future and how they would work in a practical sense. Because ultimately, it's not our job as umpires to try and decide the future of the game and the rules. But where I think we can play a useful role is, okay, in a practical sense, how do we think this will roll out? Is it going to be really challenging to adjudicate out there, or is it something that sounds easy enough whereby we could get, you know, consistency over time? So, no, look, we take a real interest in the sport and, you know, how it may change and what rules can assist and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, ultimately it's up to those in those positions to look at, you know, the product and what sort of product the game, you know, wants to be looked like and the flow and all that sort of stuff into the future. So, we have great input there.
So you think that there can be a way of fine-tuning or lessening the grey area for you in some aspects without actually telling me what you think should change?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you look at the deliberate out-of-bounds, and that's transformed, I reckon, Dwayne, over quite a few years now. It used to be, you know, if you think the player deliberately put the ball over, pay it. Now, again, there's still some greyness there. That's moved a bit closer to, did the player show enough intent to keep the ball in play? Now, we know they're very highly skilled players, and, you know, a lot of the time, if they really want to keep the ball in, they can. Some will argue it sort of it may have tipped a bit far, and at times it can be a bit too tough, but you know, we're only implementing the rule that's in place now. If they were to take that next step and look at a last touch, of course, that would make it a bit easier, not only for us to implement, but for the players to understand and for the fans to understand. But whether that's actually going to be good for the game and be seen as a step in the right direction or a wrong direction, I'm not so sure about that.
And little triggers that, I mean, I can see things like, well, the guy wasn't looking at the ball, he was looking at the player. So as soon as he makes contact, we presume that he wasn't really 100% with eyes on the ball because he was looking at the player. Jumper grabs when a jumper gets stretched. You guys seem to be pretty good at judging the triggers now. And I think the fans now give you an out if we see a replay of that easy trigger that you guys have found.
Yeah, look, they're easier ones, Dwayne, the flag of a jumper and, you know, eyes off the ball and then, you know, a hit to the face or something like that. But what I'd also say is I reckon the players are better coached and drilled than they ever have before in terms of subtly, you know, trying to break the rules or be on that absolute edge. And again, so that makes our job that little bit more trickier to, as you say, identify the cues. Say, like in marking contests, before the ball even gets there, where are the players positioned? Where's the drop of the ball likely to be? What sort of body contact is the defender applying on the forward or vice versa? So there's lots of things to look at, you know, pre the contest, which, again, that's what we're paid to do, and we'll hopefully get it as right as possible on Saturday night.
No, well, for some reason, I think you guys have had a really good final series. I'm not too sure what Hayden Kennedy's assessment of you has been, but it seems as if, apart from the Dangerfield throw to Ablett, but there's always going to be the one or two, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we're on one side of the pack and the players are the other, and I think, to be honest, most people accept there's going to be those mistakes. You know, the first 4 weeks of first four games of the finals was just sensational footy. We did well. The focus was on the four games and the moments within those games. And so, yeah, look, we're representing our entire group this weekend, so it's important that we deliver for the game. And hopefully, you know, the focus can be on what a great contest it is and, you know, the moments in the game that make it what hopefully will be just a ripper of a match.
Yeah, great to have a chat to you, Matt. It's always good to be able to pick your brain. I appreciate you coming on a couple of days away from the big event. And congratulations on the umpiring fraternity having an outstanding year in helping us get this game back on track in what's been a difficult 2020. Thanks for your time and good luck.
Thanks for your time, mate. All the best.
Matt Stevick, umpiring's eighth grand final on Saturday night, with Simon Meredith umpiring his sixth and Craig Fleer umpiring his first.